people said, amen, amen, amen. Why don't you take a seat? Aww, this is the last one. I'm sorry, guys. So next week, we're starting a new series called Passion Week, where we're going to be talking about just the scripture and some of the stuff that was leading up to Easter, because Easter's right around the bend. Isn't that crazy? And so Passion Week starts next week. But yeah, today is the last message in our series, Baggage Claim, and, you know, yeah. So today the message is entitled Traveling Light. Can you say Traveling Light? Traveling Light. So if you got your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And you can follow along on your Bibles. You can follow along up on the screen. There's also some Bibles in front of you. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV today, the New International. So it says this. It says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord, huh? Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest. I like that. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God, just speak to us this morning through your word. Minister to us this morning through your word. God, I'm just going to claim that rest that's mentioned there. God, I'm just going to claim that rest, Father. I'm going to claim that light and easy load. I'm going to claim that just that gentle and humble heart, God. We're just going to claim those things this morning, God. Just minister to us as we delve a little bit deeper into your word and as we just learn what you have for us this morning. God, just minister to us. God, open up our hearts to what you have for us, God. Open up our hearts to what you have for us, Father. Open the eyes of our heart, God. God, maybe there's some hearts of stone out there, God. I'm just crying out to you to turn those hearts into hearts of flesh, God. Maybe there's people out here this morning who, man, they've just been carrying around some baggage and they've been carrying around some heavy weights. So they've just been carrying around some things that have, man, they've just been going around that mountain over and over and over and over again, Father. And I'm just claiming your freeing touch over them, God. I'm praying that they will find rest this morning. God, I'm just claiming something easy and something light for them this morning in your holy name. Amen. Has anyone ever been tired before? Some of you guys here this morning might be tired. Praise the Lord. Is anyone tired this morning? Would anyone like to go home and take a nap? How many of you would like to take a nap right now? Just wait until we get back, okay? Have you ever been tired before? No sleeping in church, okay? I'm watching now. whoever raised your hand, I'm watching you now, so no sleeping. You know, that's funny. Like, sometimes we used to have this guy at our church back when we were in Missouri. He was a super nice guy, but he'd always sleep, and he'd sit right in the front row. And so no matter how you were preaching, he'd always sleep, so it always threw me off. So I'd be looking at him and I'd try to, like, say stuff, like, to throw... Anyways. Being tired can be difficult, can't it? Man, have you ever been driving before? You're driving and you feel like you're falling asleep and you're trying to wake yourself up and you're looking out the window and you're throwing water in your face and you're drinking Mountain Dew and you're eating a bunch of candy just to stay awake and you're watching the road and like parts of the road are disappearing. Have you ever had that happen? Oh man, this week, oh boy. My wife and I, we took a trip, actually before we were married, we took a trip to visit my sister and my brother-in-law in Tennessee. We lived in Missouri and we drove over to Tennessee and we decided that we were going to take a trek. My car broke down on the way there. Actually, I had this little Mitsubishi pickup truck and it was always really difficult to shift, and I shift and the stick came right up out of the floor. And so I was like, oh my goodness, and I looked down in the transmission and there was this little busheling that like fell in there. And so luckily there was this place that was open that it was like a $2 piece that I had to put back on the ball, put it back in so that I could shift and I could drive home. But we were planning on leaving earlier in the day, and actually from where they were at in Tennessee to where we were at in Missouri, it was about 10 hours, which is crazy when you think about the distance there, but there isn't like a direct road that goes from there to there. And so we decided that we were going to leave at about, I think it was like 8 o'clock at night. And so as you guys know, college students a lot of times don't get a lot of rest, and this was during college. And so, oh my goodness, I remember driving and telling Erin to wake me up, and I'd be slapping her, and she was sleeping, and I was trying to drive and rest. Sometimes you just need some rest, you know? Anyone who has kids know that sometimes you need rest, especially when they're first born and they're crying and they're yelling and they're up every 2 hours, they're up every 3 hours. And then, like, as a first-time parent, we have any, you know, for your, it's your first kid, you always, I don't know, it's like you try to, like, you hear him move and you jump up and you hear him breathe and you jump up and you're just always nervous and you're just up all night and they're crying and you're holding him and someone comes over and you're just like, take the baby, you know? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? It's like, man, sometimes you just need some rest. It's interesting because I feel like when we're tired, things get skewed. You know what I'm saying? Like when we get tired, our perspective gets a little bit off. When we're tired, our emotions fail us, don't they? Like things that don't even seem like they should be a big deal, when we're tired, suddenly they're a big deal. Have you ever posted something online and then the next day you're like, what in the world was I thinking? You know what I'm talking about? Like your emotions fail you. Sometimes your senses fail you when you're tired. You know what I'm talking about? So here Jesus is talking to some tired people. And he says, come to me. I think that's cool. Come to me. Come to me. He didn't say, come to me and I'll send you to a religious leader. He didn't say, come to me and I'll send you to the temple. He didn't say, come to me and I'll send you back to Moses. He didn't say, come to me and I'll give you God's phone number. He said, come to me. Come to me. He's saying, I'm the source of rest. I'm the source of life. Man, if you look at Scripture, you can see that Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. He's God in the flesh. He's the source of hope. He's the source of power. Like, come to me. Come to me. But when you look at who he's calling, it's an interesting call, isn't it? Like, I wonder why he would call. Like, look at it. He's saying, come to me, all of you. It's interesting, all. It's not like a certain group of people, but everyone. Red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, short, tall, athletic, couch potato, Democrat, Republican, whatever. Come to me, all, everyone who is weary and burdened. I think that's interesting that he would be calling weary and burdened people, don't you? Like, I feel like if Jesus is starting this movement, if he's starting the church, if he's starting, I don't know, I feel like to me he should have, why would you be calling tired and burdened people? Why would you call tired and burdened people? I mean, we know that Jesus had his pick of, I mean, people were following him, there were the multitudes, there was all sorts of people in his crowd. Like, why would he be calling weary, tired, and burden people? It's like almost if you're like picking teams for dodgeball and you're like, yeah, I'd like the old guy in the back with the replacement hip and the old lady. And why would he say, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened? Doesn't that seem like a weird choice? Like, don't you feel like perhaps he should have said, I'm looking for all the Michigan fans, or I'm looking for the people who have lots of energy, or maybe the people who have great ideas, or maybe the people who have lots of money to fund my endeavors, or perhaps I'm looking for people who are of great influence, or people who have great social standing. I'm looking for people that can do a lot. I'm looking for people that are powerful. But he says, no, I'm looking for the people that are weary and burdened. I want the old guy in the back. I want the old lady in the back. I wonder, why did Jesus call weary and burdened people? Do we have any weary and burdened people? When I look at Scripture, I can only try to answer this question, and I think perhaps it's only a partial answer, but one of the reasons why I think God calls weary and burdened people is because God sees life, God sees potential in weary places. Do you agree with me? God sees life, and he sees potential in weary places. It's interesting because when I look at Scripture, I see him seeing life in weary places all the time. He saw Moses in the desert when Moses was 80 years old. He was hiding out by Mount Horeb, and man, 80 years old, God calls him. Isn't that interesting? Abraham as well. When God called Abraham, Abraham was 80 years old. Do we have anyone that's 80 here? No one. Okay. 80 years old. Sarah was barren. Abraham, it says that he was well along in years. He was as good as dead when God called him. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons, and she was thought to be a prostitute. Peter was a man who had serious anger issues. Zechariah and Matthew made a living of robbing people. Everyone hated them. But God sees potential in weary places. Maybe you're weary today. Maybe you feel like giving up today. Remember that God sees you. Remember that God has not forgotten you. Remember that God is calling to you to come to him, and that God sees life in weary places. That's the first reason. Why did Jesus call the weary and burdened people? I think he called them because God sees life. He sees potential in weary places. The second thought that I have, why did God call these weary and burdened people, is that I think coming to God requires us to acknowledge the burden of our sin. Let me say that again. Coming to Jesus requires that we acknowledge the burden of your sin. If you read part of this call, part of it is exclusive. Like, part of it he's calling everyone, but part of it is kind of exclusive. He says, listen, I'm looking for weary and burdened people. Part of coming to Jesus is acknowledging, again, the burden of your sin. It's acknowledging your depravity. It's acknowledging the need for a Savior. You see this when Paul was writing, when he says, what a wretched man I am, who can rescue me from this body of death? I think if you never acknowledge your fallen nature, then you'll never know that you need a Savior. Why did he call weary and burdened people? First of all, because he sees life and potential in weary places. But second of all, I think that coming to Jesus requires that we acknowledge the burden of our sin. Again, if we read that verse again, it says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I wonder what this yoke is that Jesus was referring to. You know, we see that he was calling these people, but you wonder about this yoke that he was referring to. In Scripture, we can see that a yoke was often made of wood. It was hand-carved to fit the neck and the shoulders of the animal to prevent pain and discomfort. But really, in the ancient world, the word yoke was a term that was used to describe submission or control. So when someone was described as being yoked to someone or something, it was communicating the idea that he or she was in submission to that person or that thing. I think when you read this passage, you can really see that Jesus was making a contrast between a couple different yokes. The first yoke is a yoke that he is really assuming upon his listeners, but there's another yoke as well. The first yoke, if you look, is really and this was maybe the assumption, is that there was a yoke of bondage. All right? Jesus wasn't talking necessarily about a physical burden when he was talking about the burden, but really this yoke of bondage that he was talking about was a heavy burden, the system of works that the Pharisees had laid upon the backs of the people. We kind of see this further if you read the totality of Matthew in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, where he states, and he's talking about the Pharisees here, he says this, he says, they tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. The yoke of bondage, the yoke of, really he's talking about the yoke of religion. They had Moses, they had the law, they had religion. Like, he's talking about the Pharisees, and what they had done is they had come up with all these rules that they had added. In fact, it said that they had over 600 commandments. They had the oral traditions that they had passed down. They had, you know, rituals that they had passed down. They had all these things that they had passed down again and again and again. So they had one commandment, and then they added another commandment to it, and then they added another law to it, and another law to it, and another law to it. And so what was meant to bring freedom eventually was bringing death. You know what I'm talking about? One thing after another, after another, after another. And what was happening is, although they had all these laws, although they had all these regulations, they were just exterior. They were just things that were on the outside. Did you know that's what legalism essentially is? Right? Like, that's what it is. And when you see in Scripture, when Jesus was talking a lot of times to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law, he was pointing this out with them. He's like, you have all these things that you're following, you have all these rules, you're trying to act so religious, but really, when you look at it, your inside, although the outside is like a whitewashed wall, your inside is like an open grave, right? So you go out and you pray, and you make it look like you have all these crazy words, and you try to make it look good, but on the inside, your hearts are full of sin and corrupt. You might go out and you might fast, and you might make it look like you're fasting and you're all excited and you're showing everyone that you're fasting and you're throwing stuff on your face to make it look like you're malnourished. But really, on the inside, you're falling apart. The yoke of bondage. I think we can even see this yoke of bondage even today, this yoke of bondage, this legalism even today, where people try to earn their way to God. You know, if I just follow these certain things, if I just witness enough, if I just go to church enough, or maybe I'll be one of the people that make it to heaven. Maybe, just maybe, I have a good friend who's a Jehovah's Witness, a great guy. He's just, man, but just maybe I'll be part of the 144,000. If I just go to church enough, if I just witness enough, if I just hand out enough tracts, if I just knock on enough doors, man, if I'm just religious enough, if I'm just good enough, if I just follow the five pillars of peace, if I can just do it. The question becomes then, am I ever going to be good enough? Are you ever going to be pleased with me? Man, legalism can be a terrible master. It's almost like we identify ourselves with how busy we can be. Almost like Mary and Martha when Jesus went to their house and Martha was just doing, and Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus. I think yokes come in a lot of different shapes. They come in a lot of different sizes. They come in a lot of different smells. They come in a lot of different colors. I think everyone's, and really, I think everyone is yoked to something. Maybe a question you can ask yourself is, does your yoke have a name? Maybe you deal with the yoke of approval. You just can never say no. You just always want to be accepted. You say one thing to one person, another thing to another person. You just always have to. Maybe your yoke is the yoke of approval. Maybe your yoke that you carry is the yoke of materialism. You just always need the newest. You always need the best. You always need just the next thing. Maybe the yoke that you carry isn't the yoke of approval. Maybe it's not the yoke of materialism, but maybe you deal with the yoke of depression. Man, one moment life seems good, and then the next moment life seems bad. One moment everything is on top of the mountain, the next moment. And it could just be the smallest thing. I don't know if you've ever talked to someone that deals with depression, but it just comes back again and again and again and again. It's this yoke that, you know, when you think about a yoke, it's something that really binds you to something else. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's something that holds two beasts together, two animals together. Like, maybe you've been walking, you've been trying to carry around this yoke of approval, or this yoke of materialism, or this yoke of depression. Or maybe you're here this morning and you have a yoke of lust, where you just, man, you just can't get images out of your mind, and you just, like, you deal with things, and you look at people incorrectly, and you view things as objects, and this is just something that you've been yoked to for a long time, and you're trying to carry it along. And or maybe you have the yoke of hurt. You know, someone hurt you, and someone dishonored you, and now you have this yoke of this person that you've been carrying around, and this person doesn't even know that you've been carrying them around for all this time. And man, yokes come in a lot of different shapes. They come in a lot of different sizes. They come in a lot of different tastes, colors, and smells. But everyone's yoked to something. Everyone's yoked to something. What are you yoked to this morning? The first yoke that Jesus really kind of mentions here is the yoke of bondage, the yoke of slavery. But there's another yoke. Isn't that good news? There's another yoke. You don't have to be yoked to these things any longer. Isn't that good news this morning? You don't have to be yoked to these things. Look at the verse again. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Look at the descriptors of the yoke, of Jesus' yoke. Gentle, humble, easy, light. And then you get rest. There's a lot of places that offer rest. In fact, I just had someone call me. They're trying to sell me a timeshare in Florida. I'm like, wow, that's exciting. There's a lot of places that offer rest. But what I found is that the rest that people try to give me is often rest that is temporary. It's rest for a while, but then when you get back, it's just back to the same thing over and over again. You know what I'm talking about? Or have you ever been on a vacation and it seems like it's going to be resting, but then you get back from your vacation and you need a rest from your rest? You need like a vacation from your vacation. You need a rest from your... It's like, do you guys hate those vacations where you just have something going on all the time and you get back and you're like, wow, this was not at all what I anticipated? Like, you go to Disney World and you're like, yay! And it's just like, oh! And you get back and you're like, oh my goodness, I need another... Sorry. There's a lot of different places and people that offer rest, but it's interesting when you read the original language, the way it should be translated is, "I will rest you." I will rest you. Isn't that interesting? Like, he himself, Jesus himself, like the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the name above every other name, "I will rest you." Like, again, it's not anyone, but I personally will rest you. I mean, there's warmth to that, isn't there? There's friendship to that. There's relationship to that. It's not like the religion of the Pharisees. It's not the laws and the regulations and the 600 commandments, but "I will rest you." You. There's certainty to that, isn't there? Like, "I will," and like not maybe, like maybe I will rest you, but I will rest you. I will give. I'm not going to sell. I'm not going to barter, but through my grace. It's in my possession. I will give you. It's faithful. It's free. It's for you personally. I mean, you might think, oh, this might be good for my mother. This might be good for my dad. This might be good for someone across the street. This might be good for the homeless man. But he's saying, listen, I will give you personally rest. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you rest. I wonder why he says that it's light and easy. I wonder why he says it's light and easy, especially when we look at the yoke that Jesus carried, because I would argue that it was anything but light and easy. When you look at the he became a curse for us, and you look at the way that he went to Golgotha, and he was beaten, and he was whipped, and he was pierced, and you look at everything that happened to him, and he was just mutilated with the punishment and the hurt, and he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I look at that, I'm like, wow, when I look at Jesus' yoke and I look at his burden, I would think it was anything but easy and light. Would you agree with me this morning that it does not seem like his yoke was easy and his burden was light? I read at that, I'm like, no, it was anything but that. I feel like it was difficult and it was hard and it was burdensome. But what I think he meant when he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, is he was saying that, like, Jesus was going to do all of the heavy lifting. Jesus was going to do and has already done all the heavy lifting for us. Amen? It's not like we have to go and we have to follow all these commandments, all these 600 commandments. It's not like we have to earn our way to heaven. It's not like we have to be a certain way or be like so good or give enough or tithe enough or jump enough or smile enough. But Jesus has already done all the heavy lifting. And that's good news this morning, isn't it? That's fantastic news. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul was talking about this very thing, and he says this. He said, for through the law, I died to the law that I might live for God. Amen? For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. For I have been crucified with Christ. Praise the Lord, we don't have to be crucified. But I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. And guess what he did? He gave himself for me. Christ has already done the heavy lifting. He took the burden, he took the pain, he took the sorrow, he took the sin to the cross, and it has been crucified with him. And now through Christ, through his redemption, we can be crucified with Christ. And we can no longer, but Christ lives in me. The life we live in the body, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and who gave himself for us. He took our baggage to the foot of the cross. He took our baggage to the foot of the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our sufferings. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We are like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his stripes and by his wounds, we are healed. And as the worship team comes back up, we're going to sing that song with everything one more time. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, I've quoted this a few times during the series, but I think it's fitting. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. I think we can see in Scripture that Jesus was a carpenter. There's some ancient traditions that actually say that Jesus built yokes, which would make sense if he was a carpenter. But a yoke had to fit an animal perfectly. And a yoke was made specifically for an animal. It had to be made, again, perfectly so that it didn't chaff or hurt the animal. The yoke wouldn't work on another animal. Did you know that God has made a yoke that fits you? He's made a yoke that fits you. I like that he says, learn from me. Another way that you can look at it, and really that word learn comes from the word disciple. Learn from me. Learn in a submissive way. Learn from me, for my yoke is gentle and humble, is easy and light. When I think about the yoke of the enemy, I think it's anything but that, isn't it? The yoke of bondage, it comes on and it hurts. It doesn't fit right. Sometimes you're carrying around you're trying to carry something else around. It's like when you have a baby and you're carrying it around and you don't have the right. You're not pushing it in a stroller. And you're like, after a while, that 20-pound baby can feel like it's 1,000 pounds. God has made a yoke that fits you perfectly. But part of it is us being submissive to his will and submissive to his way, submissive to what he has for us. Part of it's saying, God, I know that you know me better than I do. Part of it's saying, God, with everything that I have, I'm going to give you glory. With everything that I have, I'm going to give you praise. God, where can I go or where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the mountains, you're there. If I go down into the depths, you are there. Where can I go? God, you know everything about me. God, I just take your will and I take your way. God, I'm going to take your yoke upon me because I know that it's easy. And I know that it's light. God, we give you the glory.